ugly motherfucker.
Okay, we're going to do a review of The Predator.
Yes, another movie review.
Yeah, this one's kind of a gimme, you know. There's lots of reviews on The Predator, but we're going to do it a little bit differently, I think. The copy that I have is the Ultimate Hunter Edition Blu-ray.
Which I can't believe it's really called that, but yeah, it says it right there.
The Ultimate Hunter.
It says it right there on the box.
Yeah, I almost didn't buy this edition because it was getting dinged in reviews. People complain about there's one scene, you know, where Carl Ruthers' face kind of looks pretty airbrushed. But yeah. I'm glad I got it because that's only for a second. They're really...
Yeah, I noticed it like, and that was like early on in the movie. Like it's one of the scenes, like it's even before they go out in the jungle, like when they're in the office talking.
Just in the, during the briefing
and he,
part.
Yeah, he looks a little waxy, like they over airbrushed.
Yeah.
Like over digitized his face. But other than that, after that, I didn't notice it anymore.
No, it looked great after that.
So I don't know
why. I think it's nitpicking. You know, some guys have to have total perfection. And evidently there is no real perfect copy of this Blu-ray. Yeah.
Although this one looks great.
I think it looks great.
Yeah.
And they're giving it away. You can get it for about $5 delivered off of eBay.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to get it. But I love The Predator. I saw The Predator probably about 3 times in the theater when it first came out.
Yeah. You saw it in Brazil, right?
The first time I saw it in Brazil. And it was funny because behind me were some Brazilian girls that came in. They were probably about 25, 26, maybe a bit younger. And they were illiterate. They couldn't read the subtitles.
Yeah.
And they came in late, so they didn't actually see the spaceship scene.
Right.
Where the
and
spaceship
I had totally forgotten that there was a spaceship scene at the beginning.
Yeah. And they didn't know this was a monster movie, so they're just watching what they think is an army movie, and you know they're commenting like, "God, man, look at his arms, you know, man, he's hot," or "That one looks like an Indian," you know, that kind of stuff. And you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger would be, they were looking at his arms and they're going like, "Oh man," you know, that kind of shit. You know? And then finally, you know, when they showed the Predator's hands, you know, the scene where you first see his hand in the thermal vision where it's got the scorpion in its hand.
Yeah, that's
they're
right.
Like, basically they're like, "What the fuck is this?" You know? And then finally when they realized it's like a monster movie, you know, they're like, "Oh," you know, they got real quiet back there. When the Predator finally took its mask off, those girls lost it. It was funny. You know, it was hilarious.
Well, but the coolest
thing... was totally getting into this movie.
The coolest thing that I always liked about Predator, because I'm not a huge action movie fan or anything like that, but one of the coolest things about Predator, and I know this is kind of a weird thing to say, but it's almost kind of like, at the same time that it's a super over-the-top action movie, there's just like fucking guys shooting guns and they're just killing
dudes
everybody.
Stupid big muscles.
And stupid big muscles and stuff like that. But at the same time, as a horror film, it's actually very restrained.
Yeah.
Because when we watched it the other day, I had actually forgotten how long it took for them to actually show the monster. They really don't show the monster hardly at all.
No.
Until the end. And I thought that was really cool. And honestly, I can't remember, because I know we watched the trailer and I can't remember exactly what was in the trailer. But other than that brief couple seconds at the beginning when they show the spaceship and everything like that, all the trailer and all the poster and everything like that, it didn't say that it was a monster movie.
No.
I mean, the poster just had Arnold Schwarzenegger looking buff like he does with a gun or whatever. So you just thought it was like an action, like an army movie.
I went to it having seen Terminator.
Yeah.
First. And I kind of saw the digitized thing and the military, you know, the digitized look of the movie poster with the military clothing. And I thought it was going to be something like Terminator.
Right, yeah.
You know, but then when I got into it, it was an army movie.
Yeah.
And it was a damn good army movie. In fact, this movie was one of the influences that influenced me into joining the army infantry.
Yeah.
Becoming airborne. And it wasn't just me. A lot of other guys in my platoon, guys in my career, loved this movie. One of them in particular actually had a Predator tattoo, and it looked really cool. Yeah.
Well, it was just like Top Gun being.
It was like Top Gun
for a lot of people,
for like wanting to go into the Air Force.
Yeah.
And it's as far as a military movie, you know, I've analyzed it over and over again over the years, and it's accurate for the time.
Yeah, they had a lot of military guys that were, and some of the people in the cast had,
half of them
were ex-military.
Half of them were ex-military. Jesse the Body was ex-SEAL. The guy who played Pancho was ex-infantry from Vietnam. Wasn't there another one that was ex-military? I'm not sure. I don't think Carl was. But they did have a military advisor in charge.
They usually do on those types of things.
The only thing that was kind of inaccurate to me that jumps out is that none of them were carrying ammo pouches.
And I didn't even notice that until you brought it up. And then I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the reason,
they shot up the whole fucking jungle and they didn't have enough ammo.
The reason being is that in that era, the LCE or load carrying equipment that we used was like suspenders on a belt. And on that belt, you hung your canteens, a thing called butt pack, which that sounds kind of nasty. It's a little pack. It's a little pack in the middle of your waist that you'd usually carry like your poncho and your and this nylon blanket or maybe a day's worth of MREs, you know. And at the front, on the belt, the suspenders connected to ammo pouches where you kept magazines. The civilians call them clips.
Yeah.
And each one would carry three M16 magazines, you know, on either side. And what that did was, is with that load carrying system that we had back then, it put all, everything around the waist, so it made everyone look kind of short and dumpy. And they're not going to take these, you know, they're not going to take these like super buffed out alpha males in this
and
movie
and make them look like they have spare make them tires. Look
dumpy. Yeah, they weren't going to do that.
It's creative license.
Yeah. So they, you know, they're not carrying any ammo pouches, but they sure as hell are shooting a bunch of fucking ammo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I love, too, that Jesse Ventura, who is in this movie, and he uses that minigun, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's funny because he will shoot that minigun just forever. And it's like, you were saying it would run out of ammo in like a second.
Well, maybe not just, well, it depends on how much you could carry. Well, first of all, you have to have some kind of electrical power source to power it.
Yeah.
It's not gas operated, it's electrical. So the electrical power system to run that gun is running up at Jesse's legs.
Yeah.
You know, underneath his pants. You know, and they've routed it in a certain way. So, you know, when they show him firing, they're hiding the fact that they've got an electrical cord powering the thing somewhere else. In that backpack that he had, you could probably carry 500 rounds belted, and you'd burn that up out of a minigun probably about, you know, maybe 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more. Probably about 15, 20 seconds probably if you held the trigger down.
Movie over.
Maybe less. It fires awful fast. I've never fired a minigun, but all that other stuff they're showing, I've fired most of those weapons. The 40-millimeter grenade launchers, you know, in the M203. Even though that's not a real M203 they're showing, it's actually a replica. I've never fired an MP5. Those MP5 submachine guns like Carl Ruthers has and Poncho has, that was actually a civilian semi-auto version that they cut the barrel down off and converted it into full auto to make it a machine gun. Some crucial differences in the true military version. The military version has a flash suppressor on it, and it also has a little toggle lever for the magazine release instead of the push button. It's complicated. One of the weapons I carried for the year was the M60. And you remember, what's his name? Mac. Mac's carrying the M60E3, which is like the short commando version that the Marine Recon carried for a little while. But no, it was a good movie. Good movie. I'm probably boring people.
Well, the thing is, it's like, you know, yeah, it's they did try to get some shit accurate. But you know, if you're going to make a good monster movie, you can't have everything be totally accurate. Yeah. Just like, I mean, like, what was another thing that we were saying before about how the Predator has, you know, heat vision, he can see. And how Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, he kind of hides from him by getting in the mud.
Right, that wouldn't
work. I don't think that would, it might work for a few seconds, but then your body heat would heat the mud up to your body temperature like almost immediately, I would think.
You'd see the differences in temperatures, you know, just of a half a degree.
Do you know what's actually, do you know what's funny? And I think we were talking about this when we were watching it, is that the first time I saw Predator and like when they showed the monster and stuff like that, I've like flipped the fuck out when he took his helmet off because I didn't realize that was a helmet. I thought it was just his head. Well, because you wouldn't know. He's an alien, right?
Right.
And people are going to laugh at me too, but it's like the first time when I saw Star Wars when I was a kid, I thought the stormtroopers were just like robots. So when Han and Luke like took one of them's uniform, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it was armor.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, that Predator, that monster, that alien mask, or the outfit, I guess what I'm trying to say, that really set the standard for special effects. That was up there with Alien from Alien 1. And
that still nowadays, and this movie was made in 1987.
It still looks great.
It still looks fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, that looks like a real monster.
Yeah, it does. It looks alive to me.
Yeah. And I mean, I can't even imagine.
And it looks better in Predator 1 than it does in Predator 2 and in Predators, the third one.
Well,
even though I liked Predators. We'll talk about them too,
I did too. But now in the third one, they did actually use some practical effects, right? It wasn't CGI.
Yeah, I think it was mostly practical effects. They did use some CG. And evidently, the Predator that they used, one of them, you know, one of the Predators that they used in Predators was made from the same mold as the original Predator.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But it doesn't quite look as real to me.
Yeah.
It looks a little rubbery. But it that's does. That's beside
but
the point.
But the monster in the first movie does not look rubbery at all. Like I said, it looks like, and it's weird because I'm assuming like for his mandibles and stuff like that. I mean, they used what like hydraulics and shit like that.
Yeah, probably cables
or cables. And it does not look like it. Doesn't look mechanical. It doesn't look anything like that.
Yeah, and that guy that played the Predator knew how to move in that thing.
Well, he was a dancer, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he was like a ballet dancer.
It
or
looked like
dancer.
A real creature,
and he was super tall too. He was like seven feet tall, something.
Yeah,
like
and unfortunately, he passed away just a few years.
1991.
After
the,
yeah,
right. He had a blood transfusion and he got AIDS
from a blood transfusion.
From a blood transfusion, yeah.
And he is in the movie at the very end when they finally get to the chopper.
Get to the chopper.
Yeah, the black guy flying the chopper is the guy
that's
that played
the guy
Predator.
That's in the Predator. Yeah.
So
because they felt bad that you wouldn't be able to see his face for the whole movie, so they gave him a little bit.
They gave him a little.
So you could see his face too.
Yeah.
But you can really tell, and I'm glad that they got somebody that with that kind of physicality to play that role, because it really comes across this kind of alien, like the way he moves and stuff like that. It's very, very fit, very alien kind of.
For me, everything about the military equipment, the military uniforms, you know, to me, that just kind of hit home. All the pants, you know, like I had those pants and those jackets when I was in the service. I had those boots, those green jungle boots. I was like one of the last batch of guys that was allowed to wear those until they finally turned those green jungle boots into the black versions. So all that stuff kind of reminiscent to me.
Yeah.
You know? And Arnold Schwarzenegger played Dutch. And one of the things that I thought was kind of an interesting little detail, he's wearing regular BDU pants, but he's wearing this like coyote tan jacket, like a shirt. And you can see that it zips, right? And his buddy, Poncho, is wearing that same thing. It's almost like hero worship. whatever.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, he's wearing that exact same outfit. The other guys are just wearing pretty much regular stuff. What's his name? Weathers. His character's name was
Dylan.
Dylan. Yeah, that's right. He's wearing like just OD green, you know, and it just looked cool. You know, I liked it. It looks like the shirt and the little cutoff vest that he had. It looked like something he got from a sporting goods store, which that's about right. You know, when we were in service, not everything that we wore was mil-spec. Wasn't issue. When you're in the field, you're allowed to wear stuff that you buy too, you know.
Yeah, within certain parameters.
Within certain parameters. So, you know, you buy, you know, better sets of boots, you know. So it's funny because you go online and I hear these guys, you know, they're looking at all this uniform stuff to play like paintball and airsoft. And they're going, well, that's not, and they're collecting guns, you know, assault rifles. And they're trying to get rigs together. And well, that's not true mil-spec. That's not, well, shit, when we were in the Army, we didn't use true mil-spec shit. You know, that's not flame retardant. That didn't matter to us when you're in the military. If you were in the infantry and you caught on fire, that's because you were burning to death in a helicopter crash. Flame retardant uniform wasn't going to save you from 300 gallons of fucking burning jet fuel, you know.
But, so, like, what do you think it was about? Because, I mean, the thing is, the 80s, a lot of kind of monster movies came out in the 80s. Like, some of them are really good. A lot of action movies came out in the 80s. But there's something really kind of, I don't know, there's something just really special about Predator. Like I said, it's not usually a genre that I like all that much.
You know, you want to know why it stood the test.
But there's
of time?
Something about it that's really,
because
it was like lightning in a bottle, honestly.
Because it was a realistic Army movie that out of the middle of nowhere threw a left curve. That there was an alien
that
in it.
It became a horror movie.
Yeah, there was an alien in it that happened to be in a Central American country hunting soldiers in a war-torn area. Which I was like, wow, where'd that come from? And it was believable.
Yeah.
Especially when you saw the alien, the creature effects. You're like, yeah, that looks like a real creature.
Yeah, if it and now here's a couple of here's some interesting trivia about this movie. Now, Predator was the one that was written by two guys. And they just slipped it under someone's door at the studio, right?
Yeah, they had never written.
They had never really written a script that got produced or anything like that. They just kind of happened to get on the lot and they said, "Hey, put it under this guy's office door."
Right, but I don't think they actually came up with this idea per se, because there was another movie that had come out a few years before that I saw when I was a kid that was a lot like it, called Without Warning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was more like a teen slasher movie. Teenagers.
Well, the same guy that played the Predator was in that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Kevin Peter Hall,
I think
his
name
is.
Okay, so same guy. And it was just an alien hunting teenagers.
Yeah.
In a cabin. It was nowhere near as cool as Predator.
Well, the thing is, I think...
But it was the same kind of idea.
Well, I think the two guys might have seen that movie, and then they're like, okay, well, if there was an alien that was hunting humans...
Yeah, it wouldn't hunt teenagers.
It wouldn't hunt teenagers. It would want a challenge.
Right, yeah.
Right? So that would be more of a conflict, because teenagers...
Yeah.
Anybody can kill teenagers. Right. Big deal. So, you
know, and in that movie, Without Warning, was kind of cool because the alien didn't have... I don't remember him ever using any technology like ray guns. He had these little octagonal or pentagonal shaped creatures that he would throw. And when they'd hit you, they had suction cups on them. And then they had tentacles that would come out and pierce through your skin and wrap around your rib cage. And in the center of it, it had little teeth and it started gnawing.
There was a movie that like that from the 50s, and I can't remember the name of it. They did it on Mystery Science Theater. I think Peter Graves was in it, I want to say. But it was the same kind of thing. But it was kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. But the aliens had these little things that kind of looked like bats or like octagonal bats or something, or trapezoidal.
I didn't see it.
So and they would kind of suck to the back of your neck and then turn you into like a zombie kind of, or it would take over your personality or whatever. Yeah. So, you know, it's an idea that's kind of out there, but I can see how you could take that idea
and improve it
and improve upon it. Because like I said, it's more of a challenge if it's a bunch of like army guys, like top tier military dudes fighting against an alien. Yeah. And then an alien, if they're doing it for sport, obviously they would want the challenge.
Yeah. You know, another thing that some people have questioned is whether or not Arnold Schwarzenegger and his crew were military. And they weren't. They actually weren't active military. They were, by today's standards, they would be called contractors.
Yeah.
Back in the day, they'd call them mercenaries, but today you'd call them contractors.
Well, Carl Weathers was, he worked for the CIA, right? And they were just they put together like a group of elite people to go in there.
Yeah, and there was legal issues too, because to this day, you can't use contractors in combat.
Right.
All right. Now, just because you kill people doesn't mean that that's combat. You notice that combat is a mission where you go out specifically to destroy an enemy unit.
Yeah.
That's not what they were there for. They were there to rescue some people who had gotten captured. If you kill someone in the act of rescuing someone, that's not combat.
That's not combat.
So you can use contractors for that.
It's a loophole.
It's like a loophole.
Yeah.
All right. But it turns out the CIA, and they weren't the first ones to be sent, you find out. You find out the special forces went first, and they got their asses handed to them.
They all got skinned.
By the Predator. All right. So they send in these contractors. That's why they're in civilian clothes when they show up. And they're wearing whatever they want to wear. And they're doing whatever they want to do. And they're doing an operation other than war in a country that they haven't waged war against.
Right.
And blah, 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 blah. Which used to happen and still happens. So they weren't actually active military. They were contractors.
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like if anybody else had been in it, if it had come out at a different time, I just don't think it would have worked. But I think it worked because... One, the ensemble cast was so good.
Yeah.
Like, I liked that they were all... Like, all the characters were kind of bigger than life, and they were all kind of over the top, but not in an unbelievable way.
Yeah.
And I liked that they kind of characterized them without too much backstory. They didn't really give each of them too much backstory, but they each had a distinct personality that across, like, without too much talking.
They were a group of battle-hardened veterans doing a rescue mission. They were working together as a team. It was all kind of clicking, and you were just, like, along for the ride. And they were all good guys. They were kind of charismatic, including Carl Weathers, the CIA guy. He was cool, too. You know, it was very different from, say, Predator 2. In Predator 2, the main characters, I really didn't care about them. I don't think they had too many redeeming qualities. They weren't really heroic to me.
Yeah. Everyone was kind of either shitheads or not super charismatic.
Yeah.
Annoying. Also, I think the movie suffered too, and I think that some reviews of this even pointed it out at the time. That it's like Predator really worked because it was like in the jungle and you couldn't really see and it was like camouflage. Yeah. When you put Predator in LA, which he was in the, it was in
LA,
you
don't get
right?
the isolation.
Yeah, you don't get the isolation kind of thing. It's like, oh, it's a monster running around Los Angeles. There's so many movies set in Los Angeles.
Kind of like didn't The Thing. The Thing worked because of the isolation of being in the snow.
Yeah, because that's like the scariest aspect. Right. And to me, that seemed like the scariest aspect of Predator to me is that, one, for a long time, you didn't know what it was that was after, or they didn't know. And if they were scared shitless, then you better be scared shitless because these were like battle-hardened veterans.
And they were
like
going,
that.
What is this? Are these guys, they were calling them, are these sappers coming after us? You know, it's a sapper is an engine, a combat engineer, you know, they use traps and they can defenses and things. So that was kind of a logical conclusion that maybe this is a couple of sappers that were doing this to them. But then the scout, Billy, who I think he kind of looked like a Native American Indian, which that's kind of cool because then you have an Indian scout, which is like in the Army traditions, those are the best scouts to have, or Indian scouts, you know. So like a special forces Indian scout, and he's like thinking that this might be some kind of a supernatural force. He's getting bad feelings.
Yeah, he was kind of the first one to clue into that.
Right. That something wasn't right, that this wasn't, you go, this ain't no man.
Yeah.
You know, so he knew something was wrong, you know. And then finally when they see it, you know, this thing, they're just saying it's this thing. They didn't know if it was an alien or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is one of the best things about the movie, because like I said, it took so long.
Yeah.
And you didn't know what it was, and they didn't know what it was, and they didn't show it for forever. Yeah. Like, it was pretty much like the last third of the movie.
I think it wasn't until you got down to the very last man, Dutch, you know, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think he was the one that, when he finally saw its face, I think he realized that it was an alien.
Yeah, because I don't think they knew that prior to that. Because you wouldn't jump to that conclusion if you were in that situation.
I think they thought it was a man in some kind of camouflage, because they said, you know, it's some kind of camouflage. I saw one of them camouflaged. I saw its eyes, and then they disappeared.
Yeah.
You know, and it was weird.
You would
stuff
think
like
it
that.
Was somebody, like, experimenting with some, like, top secret shit out
you're
in
right.
the woods. And, like, or that you were under some kind of, like, someone was experimenting on
yeah.
you.
Which you can kind of do that, actually, with a mirror.
Yeah.
If you hold a mirror the right way and angle it just the right way in a jungle type environment, you will seem to disappear.
Yeah.
Until you go around beside it.
And another thing, like I said, one of the things that made this work is, one, because the monster looked so badass.
Yeah.
If they had left it so long with like all this build up and then the monster sucked.
Yeah.
Then it would have been.
And
so it really had to, they really had to make it.
And originally the monster did suck.
It did. Yeah.
They stopped the movie and went back and got another monster and inserted it.
Yeah. Because now at this point they shot a lot of the movie, right?
Yeah.
And then
they had to go back and do all the monsters.
Yeah, and then like
fight
all the
scenes.
Shit. And if you get because we have the Blu-ray, and if you look at some of the extra shit,
yeah,
they show some of the stuff that they filmed with the original monster.
Oh yeah, it didn't look good.
And it looks really goofy.
Yeah.
I mean, the monster
Predator would have failed.
Yeah.
With that first monster.
Because if they had all this build up, all these badass dudes being scared for the whole movie, and then like the last third of the movie, they show this movie, he's like, doo-doo-doo.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have been like, fuck that.
Yeah, it
give me my money
didn't
back.
Look bad. It just didn't look anywhere near as good as the Predator that we know.
Because, I mean, can you, but like, I think
any,
I saw
any
this.
Other film, any other movie probably would have left that monster.
Yeah.
You know?
But I like that they shot most of the movie, and then when they were watching it back, like, weren't they editing of, like, an early cut of it or something
like
that?
They didn't like how the head moved. The head moved and it bobbed a little
bit.
Yeah,
it kind of like...
It looked like a turkey or a little dog head.
It did look like a little bit like a bobblehead turkey.
Bobblehead turkey dog thing. It didn't look that good. It was not intimidating looking at all.
No, and that's what I mean.
There's something about he took the mask off and his face kind of looked like the front end of a fucking... Of a scorpion, and I
yeah.
think that's why they showed it grab a scorpion. It was kind of
yeah. It looked like a face
suggesting it to your
that had a baby with a scorpion's
face.
Ass.
Yeah, or something. They tried to suggest a scorpion type quality on it when it picked up that scorpion.
Yeah.
I think its face reminded me of the mandibles on a scorpion,
and
but its skin was kind of like a cross between a frog and a alligator.
Yeah, it was like amphibian looking.
Amphibian, yeah.
And then it had like those cool... Now, were the dreadlocks that it had, was that its hair?
Yeah,
or
hair.
Was that like a headdress?
Just one big old hair. Each one of them.
large hair.
It looked like one big hair on a ball socket sticking out
Can
of
you
his
imagine
head.
What their barbershops must look like on the Predator planet? See, this is the kind of stupid shit that I come up... Like, last night, we were watching... We like... what's that Oliver Harper, that British guy that does all those movie reviews?
Yeah, he does.
We were watching some of his movie reviews last night, and we were watching a review of Superman the movie, and they showed that scene where... Now, it's actually Superman 2, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Where Zod or whoever, or one of the bad guys, like, throws Superman against the car. And I thought to myself, I was like, man, can you imagine having to call your car insurance company and saying that Superman's ass broke your windshield? Would they even cover that?
Yeah. Yeah, matter of fact, that Oliver Harper, he's one of the guys that you want to see if you want it, like a real straight, formalized review. He does a lot of them. I find them to be, they're kind of boring. There's lots of those. Ours are kind of personalized reviews.
Yeah. Well,
they're
I like his
fans.
Because he goes into kind of every
aspect.
Yeah,
the whole
He goes
aspect
into the score.
Of it.
He goes
right.
into the actors. He goes into the cinematography, everything.
Yeah, almost like a real show.
Yeah. Not like our show.
Not like our show.
which is just two idiots sitting in a room.
But actually, I just wanted to stand up for Predator and the Ultimate Hunter Edition. It is a good copy of it if you don't have anything else.
Yeah, it's looked really nice.
Yeah, I thought it looked really good. There's only just that one scene that... And it's only for a few seconds where, like, oh, okay, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, he looked like he should be in Madame Tussauds.
Yeah, but that really didn't throw me out of it.
It was just a couple of seconds.
Yeah, it was only a couple of seconds.
That's all it was.
So it's safe to get, and I'll tell you what, on a good HD TV with a good sound system, it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's really good to watch.
I had a great time watching it.
Yeah. The soundtrack's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It really takes me back. Da-da-da-da-da-da. That's
out. I would not recommend Predator 2, however.
Yeah.
It's worth seeing, but
it's not as enjoyable.
Not if you have to pay for it.
Predators, which is the third one, I actually like
it. I did like Predators.
I've seen it about four times now, and each time I've watched it, I pick up more, and I like it better.
Yeah.
It's a cool
concept, and
It is true to the original in many, many ways. It's hard to top Predator 1.
Yeah, like I said, it's just kind of like when they do like a delayed sequel or when they remake something from the 80s or something like that. You're not going to get the same charm. You're not going to get, you know what I mean?
Not quite the same experience because you kind of know what's coming.
Yeah, that's another thing about Predator is that, you know, it's just kind of like any movie where now everybody knows the ending. So it's like you can, you know, it's like Planet of the Apes, you know? Right. It's like, blow it up, you know what I mean? It's like, I wish that I could see it without knowing that was going to happen.
Right.
And the same thing with Predator. I can't really remember because, you know, I guess I had just started high school when it came out. I think I saw it in the theater. I think I remember seeing it in the theater, maybe with my brother.
I was in high school. I think I might have been either a junior or a senior.
I was either in ninth grade or 10th grade.
Okay.
87.
What year? 87? I was a senior.
Yeah. Because I graduated in 1990. So I was either in ninth grade or 10th grade.
Yeah.
But,
the movie still holds up.
Yeah, I was surprised at how good it still looks.
Yeah, it still looks really good.
I mean, it does not look cheesy in the slightest.
And you can sit there and eat popcorn and watch that, man. Yeah. In your room. Yeah, it's cool.
So get the popcorn going and get to the chopper.
Get to the chopper!
Okay, so if you like our movie reviews, we're going to be doing some more pretty soon. And also, please remember to go to our Patreon page and give us a couple bucks if you would. Or if you, or also if you go to our blog, which is 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com, or might be reversed, I always forget. There's also a PayPal button on there if you'd rather give a one-time donation rather than a monthly donation. So you can do that too. And I think that's about it for this movie review. And that'll do it for Predator. Bye.